Christmas traditions are wonderful, and there's some of them that are just fantastic. Some of them are not so fantastic, and unfortunately, in this country, we're seeing that Christmas is getting out of hand for many people because people want to take the Christ out of Christmas, and you see that all over the stores. I was at a gas station just recently. And I said, Merry Christmas. And the lady said, Happy Holidays. So I said, Merry Christmas again. And she said, Happy Yule. And I finally got her with Feliz Navidad. She couldn't say anything back. But, you know, I won't say Happy Holidays or anything else. It's Merry Christmas because it's still Christmas. And now, I love Christmas. I really do. I'm in love with the notion of being together with family, with friends, the food, of course. Cookies and just about everything that has to do with Christmas. The only regret is that, as most of you know, Christmas is coming earlier and earlier. Costco started their display in August, and other stores followed, and so on and so forth. And I come from, you know, I'm an old timer a little bit, and I remember when you know, the only thing that was open on Sundays was the Piggly Wiggly, you know, and now we're moving to the direction that even stores were open on Thanksgiving Day. We have Black Friday now. We have Cyber Monday. You know, what else is next? And so we're becoming very commercial. That's why I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited that so many of you braved the elements to be here. And so I'm really excited about that. So hopefully today we're going to be talking about the best gift, the ultimate gift, the greatest gift given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ. According to the American Research Group, the average American family will spend $861 on gifts this year. That's a lot of money, at least for me. And another organization tells us that families plan on spending $271 per child this holiday season. And you could Google all this information and find out for yourself, but if we're not careful, one of the dangers of that is that we can get bogged down on buying and giving to the point that Christmas is not so wonderful. It's not the most wonderful time of the year because of the added pressure that we put on ourselves. And for some people, this Christmas and the holiday season can be depressing. And the reason for that is because they don't really understand what Christmas is all about. And so tonight, we'll talk about the best gift ever. But before we do that, I did a little bit of research, and I looked up, I'm going to be telling you about the greatest gift. Well, what about gifts that weren't so great? So, if you would look at the screens real quick, I did a little bit of research, and the worst Christmas gifts ever. Most of us remember some gifts that weren't so hot, right? And anyway, next slide, please. We could go down. Hand or pants? Come on. Okay, enough said. Next. Okay, remember that fish that sang? Okay, now, if some of you still have it on your wall, please shoot it, okay? Next. My cleaning trolley. It's for girls, it says on the ad. Is that they, you know, have custodians at schools and stuff, it's so little girls could learn how to clean, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully, you didn't give one of those to your daughters. Next. Look at that, okay? Yeah, my goodness. You know, I had something to say, but I think I'm going to hold my tongue on that one. Okay, next. Okay, this one is, it shows you how to fillet a salmon. My goodness, okay? So if you want to start your children on vocational training really young, this toy's for you. Next. This one, if you may not know what it is, but what it is they turn up the heat on that thing and see how much voltage you can hold on to, okay? Yeah, okay. Now, for added pleasure, give it to him in the bathtub. No, I'm just kidding. Next. Okay. Yes, okay. That's available at Cheapskates R Us, okay? Next. Okay, this one, Dr. Drill and Phil, okay? For those of you who want to have a dentist in the family, by all means. Next. Okay, and this one is how to work the drive-thru at McDonald's, okay? So at an early age, you can train your children how to get the order wrong. Okay, next. Okay, and this is Barbie. Barbie taking care of the pet and cleaning after the pet. I don't know that that was a big seller, but anyway, next. And my last one. Don't give him that because you'll shoot your eye out. Right, Ralphie? Okay. So those are some of the worst gifts ever, but what about the best gift? You know that God is in the giving business? God gave Adam and Eve a piece of skin from an innocent animal to replace the fig leaves and cover their shame of nakedness. God gave Noah a plan for the ark that would provide for the saving of his household when judgment came. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age, and she named him Isaac. God gave the Israelites possession of the land flowing with milk and honey. And God gave prophets to plead with his people and tell them of amazing things to come. God gave the scriptures to prophesy of a Messiah who would come to deliver and save. God gave the shepherds a pronouncement by the angels that Jesus was born. God gave the wise men a star to lead them to the young child with their gifts. And God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances of a virgin with child. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross to bear the sorrow and shame. And Jesus gave his life for sinners. God offers to give all men the pardon for their sins so that they might know the joy of everlasting life. And so God is a giver. He's a great giver. And in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and you've heard this many times, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God gave not only his best, but God gave everything in giving the Son away to each one of us. And so God is a giver. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, wrote in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In the latter part, the next says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's an eternal free gift that's given to each one of us. And of course, James tells us in 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And so God is a giver, because in Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own Son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So briefly, I'd like to remind you that God is the one that gives us all things. The chubby guy in the red suit, while it's a great legend, it should not take the place of Jesus. You know, I figured that one out a long time ago when I was a kid. I mean, I don't know about you, but from where you're at, if you can't see me very well, I'm a little brown. So, in the neighborhood I grew up with, you know, there wasn't a guy in a red suit with rosy cheeks. If he did, he either got beat up or he was undercover. One of the two. And so for us, it was no Santa Claus. If there was, it's called Pancho Claus. Okay. It is God who gives us all things, not the man in the red suit. But tonight I'd like to talk to you about this gift that I mentioned earlier. This gift that God gives us to each one of us, it's a personal gift. In Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, it tells us this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so one of the things that we find out is that Jesus was predicted long ago, and that he would be sent to each one of us to save us from our sins. 1 Timothy 1:15, it's a wonderful verse because it blows me away in that it says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And one of the things that that we learn about the Apostle Paul is that he was a brutal man. He was a tough guy. But he understood full well that God sent his only son to die for him. We find that God is involved, wants to be involved in our lives, because the gift of his son is personal. It's offered to each one of us, and not as a group, but individually. It's a gift that is given to each one of us. Now, when we shop for a loved one, you know, we hopefully that gift that we're shopping for is a personal gift. And like for instance, when I go to Target, I seem to gravitate to the electronics section because I like electronic gadgets for my computer or stereo and so on. And if I go out there and buy a set of headphones for my wife, she really doesn't need those. She doesn't listen to music like that. She's not interested in that. She may want clothes, but there's no way she's going to want a new set of headphones. So I need to buy something personal for her because the motivation for buying something like that is that I care about her. I love her. And so a gift that fits the person you're shopping for is one in which you take care and you really want to make sure that it's something special for him or for her. And what we find out is that Jesus came for each one of us. He came for me. He came for you. He didn't just come for the rich. He didn't come for the poor. He didn't come for a specific ethnicity or color of people or anything like that. He didn't come for the people from the U.S. He came for everyone. And the gift of God's Son was for you because he came and died for you personally. He came and died for me personally. But the thing is, you have to believe that it's for you. He came to save us from ourselves. He came on a rescue mission. It was a mission of mercy. And the reason for that, it's because he loves us. That's the motive. That's the ultimate motive, because he loves us and continues to love us. When Jesus came to this earth, he became human. He didn't have to, because after all, he was God. But he came in the form of a little baby and grew up to be a man. I remember when I was growing up, and I grew up in a Catholic, us being Hispanic and Mexican-American family. I remember going to church on the 24th, and after the service, everybody lined up to kiss the little baby Jesus. And it was great because I learned about it, but it's not a baby anymore. Jesus became a man and took our sin on the cross and died. And so as wonderful as that was, I have to realize that he became a man and it took my sin. And he takes your sin too. And one of the remarkable things about Jesus being completely human and completely God is that he knew loneliness. He was tempted. He felt hunger. He was tired. He had those attributes that every human has because he was fully human. And we don't like to think of Jesus in being human. We don't like to think about God being hungry. We don't want to think that even God himself in the form of Jesus was tempted by a woman, but he was. It almost seems sacrilegious, doesn't it? But he was completely human. And he did that because when he looked across time and he saw us, he saw our hearts. He saw that we needed a Savior. He saw that we needed to be saved, to be rescued. And that's what the word saved means, to be rescued. And so he gave the gift of himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he even asked God, do I have to go through this? And yes. And he willingly did that. How many of us would have done that? How many of us, even as fathers, will give our sons or our daughters? I don't know that I have that within me to do that. But God did. He did it because he loves us. And so his gift is personal. He gave himself for each and every one of us. And when a gift has a name, when you look, some of you have Christmas trees, some of you don't. It doesn't matter. But if you have a gift and it has your name on it, well, of course, you know it's yours. But it isn't really yours until you take it and you accept it, right? Tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that gift, but you have to accept it. The second thing that we learn about God's gift is that it's a practical gift as well. Now, when we go Christmas shopping for those we love, it doesn't have to be the best or the most expensive gift. And as the old saying says, it's the thought that counts, right? But our gifts should also be practical. Now, I like to think that I buy my wife practical things. Pastor Rob doesn't think so, but a ladder is practical, okay? Makeup for my mother-in-law is practical. Before I get bad emails and stuff like that, just know that I love my mother-in-law, and she has great things going for her. She's loving, she's kind, she's caring, and she lives 1,500 miles away. And so I love her. Now, you see that, you see junk gifts that are all over the place in stores. You really don't want those, and sometimes you get them. There's even a website called stupid.com, believe it or not, where you could buy stupid gifts. That's a true story. But Jesus has given us the most practical gift, which is eternal life. Eternal life for those of us who have turned to him. And it's something that we all need. That's why it's practical. We need it. It is something that we all must have. And without it, we die and go to hell. With it, we live eternally. So how much more practical can that get, right? So let me ask you this. Have you ever sinned? Maybe you're in sin now. There's no gift that you could ever need more than the gift of eternal life if that's the case. And if you want this gift like any other gift, you have to accept it. And so how do you do that? How do you accept that gift? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9-10, and it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. How did I get saved? I was a good for nothing. I was teaching. I was a professional. And I was running a youth organization at the same time, making lots of money. But I was miserable on the inside. And so I turned to other things other than God. Even though I was going to church on a regular basis. Until the day after Easter, 30 years ago, God knocked me off my horse. I was in California, in the middle of nowhere with so-called friends, and I find myself desperate. So when I got back home, on the flight back, I was shaking because I knew that I was going nowhere fast. I don't know about you guys. Maybe some of you have never been there. Hopefully you never will. We'll come to the realization that you're going nowhere really fast. And it doesn't matter how much education you have, how many friends you have, how much money you have, you know you're going down. So I went to the Bible bookstore and bought a little booklet. And the little booklet had the message of salvation. And I prayed that. And I was converted overnight. And so I accepted that gift by myself. Nobody told me anything else. And I started going to a Bible teaching church after that. And that could be also for you tonight. The third thing that we find about God's gift is that it's a pleasing gift. The gifts that we give to someone should be something to please them, right? For instance, for Christmas, I'm not going to put four tires underneath the Christmas tree for my wife. I mean, they won't fit. I tried. No, I'm just kidding. We all know what happens to gifts that we don't really care for, right? There's some gifts that you look at, you're thankful because it's a gift, and you do your best to accept it, to smile, and you realize it's going to take me 3 years to eat this fruitcake, you know. But nevertheless, you accept it. But I can tell you personally that there's no greater gift that has been given to me than the gift of Jesus Christ, because God gave us the pleasing gift we could ever ask for in the gift of his son. What more could we ask for? You know, do we really need all the stuff that we get for Christmas? I think that growing up in a household where we didn't have much, in a society in which you really didn't go overboard. It has made me long for those kind of days. Sometimes I get nostalgic. You know, I'm only 59 of your business, but I recollect the 60s. You know, I recollect the 60s so well. And for me, it was a great time because it was simplistic. And so one of the things that God gives us is a gift of salvation. And it's really simple. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is say yes to him and say no to the world. And one of the things that we find out when you do that is that he satisfies the deep longings of our hearts. Those things that we thought could replace that, instead make it more empty. And I'm talking about drugs, alcohol, and ad nauseum. It could be so many things. But Jesus Christ, the great example, when it comes to giving pleasing gifts, his gift is pleasing to us. The fourth thing we find about God's gift, that it's a permanent gift. Now, we should, in theory, give gifts that are lasting, that are permanent, that have some value of them, not that are made cheaply, that will break, and so on and so forth. I know we do what we can within our budgets, right? And I understand that. I get that. But we should also think about some of the things that we give. And it's not like that person who brought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. And a friend of his said, "Hey, I thought your wife wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles." And the man says, "She did. But where am I going to find a fake Jeep?" So, you know. So when we give something, it should be something that it has some lasting value. We've all seen kids play with an expensive toy, and by the end of the day, they're playing with the box that it came in instead of with a toy, right? That's why this Christmas, I bought nothing but empty boxes. Just kidding, kids. Just kidding. But God gave us the permanent gift of eternal life. In John 10:28, it says this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In other words, if you accepted that gift and you're a child of God, you'll always be a child of God. You may walk away. You may not be as close as you want to, but you'll always be the child of God. If it's in sincerity, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is eternal. Because what part of eternal life is eternal? It's all of it. Can you imagine if it was conditional? And in some religions, it is that way for them. And so they're beating each other up. They're stepping at each other's toes because they don't have that security. But not with Jesus Christ. The King of Kings was born in a little stable, and he did that so we could have permanence with him in eternity. The last thing I'd like to tell you about this gift is that it was a purchase gift. It cost him his life. He purchased our lives with his blood. Romans 5:15 says, "But not as the offense, so is also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto us." And so, what is the best gift you could give this Christmas? If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, that's the best gift you could do. Well, what about some of you who have done that? If you already accepted that gift, and you've had that gift, maybe you've been walking with God for a long time. Well, did you know that re-gifting is biblical? Yeah. What have you done with that gift? See, it's a gift that we have, but it's not just for us. We're called to also share it and give it away. That's re-gifting, isn't it? Yeah. And so that's one of the things that we could do. If we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, then give it away. Don't hoard it. Share it. What more loving thing can you do for others than to do that, to share the love of Christ? So in conclusion, why the gift? Because God loves us. Plain and simple. It took me a long time to realize because I know I was riddled with guilt for all the things I've done. And it took me a long time to realize that I've been forgiven. Forgiven, period. And it isn't God who brings it back and forth. It's the enemy, Satan, who brings stuff back like an 8-track, okay? And you have to be kind of old to get that thing. Yeah. Some of you didn't want to accept it, but you know what it is. And so just as we give gifts to people who we care about during this Christmas season, Christ Jesus given the ultimate gift for our sins. His gift is personal. His gift is practical. His gift is pleasing. His gift is permanent. And he's already purchased it for us this Christmas season. And all you have to do is accept it. Now, what is the real meaning of Christmas? It's Jesus. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul said, but I'd like to write my name in there. It's me. And if we're honest with each other, if we're honest with one another, you could erase, put your name on there too. Because we're all in the same boat, people. And so, how do you accept this gift? Well, just repent. Say, agree with them. Say, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm not that good. And that means you have a change of mind and change of direction and believe in Jesus Christ. Call on him and he will save you. That's all. Now, some of you know the real meaning of Christmas. Some of you may not. I asked several kids, what is the real meaning of Christmas? I'm going to pray and I'm going to let you guys know, and on that secret. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the saving grace you give us through Jesus Christ. I pray that each of us here, before we leave this auditorium, would have said yes to Jesus. Some of them for the first time, some for a second time perhaps, and some of us have been walking with God for a long time, Father. Help us to treasure that, but to also share it. Thank you so much for this evening. I ask for traveling mercies that we'll all be able to get home safely. We ask in Jesus' name.